This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. That'll cheer you up if you've been sat home all day, won't it? 0208 70 20 558 if you want to join the show. You can call us, you can WhatsApp us, or you can tweet us at Love Sports Radio. Miles Blumsom here, joined by the back of the Nest team. As always, Nick Gillard and James Howard are with me. Let's bring them in. I know James is sat at home on Skype because we've just seen the video. James, just firstly, you need to change the angle, mate. Double chin. How are you, buddy?
Thank you. Yeah, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you absolutely fine. How have you been? Are you at work at the moment? What's happening your end?
No, I'm funny enough, it's interesting, I'm actually starting a new job on Monday.
Right.
And I was a little bit worried about it, but they called me today and said it's all going ahead. What's your address? We'll send you all the computer equipment to your house. You're going to be working from home from day one.
So you won't know any of the staff, any of the policies. You can't sit behind the person like you normally do awkwardly for the first day watching them work. You're just gonna have to crack on.
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, I guess there'll be some kind of video conferencing or whatever, but it's scary because they said, look, the office is completely closed. We would have had you in on day one just to kind of meet your new manager and pick up your laptop. But we think you may have to just stay at home and we're just going to send it all to you. So, yeah, it's crazy times. Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Gillard is with us as well. Nick, how are you right? Doing? Have you been out and about or are you staying at home?
I'm at home. It looks like we're going to be going for the 12-week isolation stretch because my son recently recovered.
Yeah.
So, and my line of business as well, home tutoring. I've no kids to tutor because they've all shown symptoms. So work has kind of dried up.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking what I'm going to do for 12 weeks. So I've got Civ lined up on my computer all ready to go. I might grow some stuff in the garden. Just keep myself busy.
And watch lots and lots of Crystal Palace videos.
Yeah, yeah. I took them down a charity shop about 6 weeks ago, the old VHS.
Oh.
I could have watched them.
You could have got through the lot and then taken down when we've all finished with this. right, let's get into the football now because there's no football for Crystal Palace. I don't know if you've seen the EFL statement today. They had their board meeting. The Premier League's is tomorrow, but I would assume that the Premier League's will sort of follow suit from the EFL in terms of the statement that top priority is to get the rest of the 2019-20 season finished. The EFL, which I think is really nice, is doing a short-term handout of £50 million to ensure the survival of clubs. But let's start with the actual finishing of the season. Is this something that's realistic? I know UEFA yesterday said they wanted to get it done by July. I can't see that happening unless it's behind closed doors, which personally I'd rather just not see football.
Yeah, I think that overall, I believe that the season should be finished. I don't think it will be finished by July. I think, you know, we, from what the PM and the advisors are saying, you know, this is going to go well into the summer. I would be inclined to sort of say, you know, let's carry it over to next year, next season. Let's see it finished properly and take things from there, really. I just think it wouldn't be fair on a lot of teams and a lot of clubs to finish it too early and start awarding out, you know, winners' medals and maybe possibly telling clubs they've got to be relegated, etc. I think it's got to be finished, and my first choice would be to, you know, if it happens that we have to restart it, you know, in September, then we just continue it in September and we just play along like that, really.
Nick, do you agree?
Yeah, kind of. There's lots to consider. What I think should happen, but it can go on for as long now because Euros have been moved on a year, haven't they? So I saw Schenk Tosun was kind of celebrating that fact that he will be fit for Euros now. So that's good news for him. It's hard, isn't it? Because we've got a long... It's such an unknown, this blooming virus, that we don't know what is around the corner. So we might be in a position where China seems to be now, where they're down to 5 reported cases a day in Wuhan. So, you know, I don't know how many weeks it's been going on for since January. So, you know, 2 or 3 months down the line, we might be in a position to do it. As for playing games behind closed doors, I really kind of poo-pooed it. But the fact is, they need to keep revenue coming in. The money they get for attending games is from the paying punters is really small beer compared to the broadcasting money. So I think if they can keep going, as long as some of that money can go down into the lower leagues as kind of keeping them afloat, as it were, just as a, you know, almost a tax on the big teams. If they can play the games behind closed doors, sure, there'll be no atmosphere, but at least we'll have something to talk about and take our mind off things.
So do you think this, Nick, I'll just stay with you quickly. Do you think this £50 million short-term loan is going to be enough? You're talking about Premier League clubs playing behind closed doors, getting the telly money in to filter down through. Is that really the obligation of Premier League clubs, especially with the EFL trying to start with these contingency plans?
It isn't an obligation, but it's the right thing to do. That's just the way I see it. I think it's morally it's the right thing to do. We've all got to kind of get away from this, let's all sort of look after ourselves and start looking out for each other, particularly, you know, a national sport. Because without the lower league teams, it just wouldn't be the same anyway. And it does look like some teams could really, really suffer from it. But again, everybody's going to suffer, from individual people to the bloke running the coffee shop around the corner. So it's something that's affecting everybody. So there might be government help. Who knows what's going to come up in the next few days.
James, in terms of not just Crystal Palace, but all football clubs, are you worried for the liquidation, for the existence of some football clubs, especially going down the leagues as we go forward through this coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah, I'd be worried for a lot of football clubs outside of, you know, maybe the Premier League and Championship. Like all businesses, it's not going to be easy at all because there's no free money about, that's for sure. There might be interest-free loans, which the government are offering. But, you know, if you're sailing close to the wind in a business, and I include football as a business, then, you know, you might make a decision where, do you know what, I don't want to take on more debt, even if it is interest-free or it's over a longer period of time, because we're so close to, you know, going out of business, it just puts on more pressure. And, you know, I come from a financial services business background, and I fully understand the challenges that these businesses will have. And this is the, you know, the smaller businesses that can't ride the you know, there's a lot of larger organizations and businesses that have got, you know, money available to them in these times of needs and crisis, but there are businesses that are running week by week, and those will be the football clubs, for example, that are in the lower leagues, that are really relying on, you know, the weekly gate to get them by every week. And it's who knows what's going to happen. It's a big worry for a lot of clubs and businesses.
Well, something that can have financial implications as well is player contracts, because with the suggestions that the league gets started as and when it can, it could be in September, there will be players' contracts that are ending in June. So at the end of June is the end of the season. 1st of July is the start of the next season. Generally speaking, players' contracts come up at that point. And they would then have no, again, we talk about obligation, they have no obligation to re-sign, or they could try to hold the club for ransom if they needed to, if they thought, you know what, no, if I'm going to stay, you're going to have to pay me. Now, on the Charlton Fans show previously, we talked to Crystal Palace coach Dean Kiley, who said that he can't see any player downing tools because of the reputation they'd get. But as a fan, James, starting with you, does it worry you slightly that some players could just go, no, I'm done, my contract's up, and try and go and find employment elsewhere?
That's a tricky one. I don't think that there will be much employment elsewhere. I think that whether they stay or whether they think where they can go, I heard what Nick said earlier about, you know, possibility of playing behind closed doors, but then you've got the concerns for the players. They've got to go training, you've got all the staff that they need to prepare them for the games, and you know, we're on the verge of being completely locked down in this country. You know, this is just the start of it. And I just cannot see this happening. I mean, I've got my local, you know, daughter swimming clubs that have stopped training, you know, and, you know, every single sort of club, the leisure centres are thinking of closing down. You know, I know there's a lot of money in football, and we'd all love to say, well, yeah, let's watch it on TV. But these guys, these football players and all their support staff, you know, they're going to be out in the environment and they're going to be exposed to the virus, and their families will be exposed to it as a consequence. So I can't see anything happening, and I can't see anyone getting into any financial transitions of players that maybe are running down their contracts or looking to move elsewhere. I just think it's going to be a complete standstill for quite a few months, to be honest.
I think that society is actually going to change because of all of this, and actually there won't be that attitude of, oh, well, we'll try and screw the club over. I think we'll fundamentally change as a society once it all kind of dies down. I really do. Maybe not for long, but it's just we're just all going to see the world in a slightly different way. And one would hope that the greed aspect, that we're all in this together, should shine through a bit more. Maybe it's a bit idealistic to say that, but you know, I really do think there'll be fundamental change.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens going forward. Now, Steve Parish has been offering staff assurances over pay. I want to bring in Crystal Palace legend, former centre-back Jim Cannon next to talk about this, talk about how he thinks the club is going to do going forward, to talk about what Steve Parish has said about making sure that all the staff that would have been paid on these match days are going to still get their money to survive. We're just coming up to 8:15. This is the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport London.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport. We're the station that gives fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill's standard policy provides £1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline. Not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools and business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Just visit the public liability page on churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited. I want to bring in a Crystal Palace legend to the chat now. Jim Cannon, welcome back to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
How are you keeping? What are you doing with yourself at the moment during the coronavirus? Are you social distancing? Are you self-isolating? Or are you just carrying on as normal?
I suppose I'm carrying on as normal as you can, but obviously you're always aware of... I mean, I was chatting to your neighbour today and we both said, well, we'll keep 6 foot apart. So it's like, you know, it's in your mind, you know, that it's obviously a serious thing. I'm still having my game of golf with my mate because we're out in the open, but... until we're told otherwise, you're just trying to be careful.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you get your shopping in because the shops are an absolute madhouse at the moment. I don't know if you've seen the EFL statement today. So it's not the Premier League yet, but in terms of trying to get the season finished at all costs, we're just talking to James and Nick, who are joining me from the Back of the Nest podcast. We'll get them into the conversation very shortly. The season finishing at all costs. UEFA have said yesterday they want to try and get it done by July. I can't see that happening. That's both domestic and European competition, by the way. How do you see this season being resolved?
Well, yeah, obviously, I've been watching Sky Sports and I saw the comment about trying to get the season playing if it means playing behind closed doors. But, I mean, that still affects... and I presume if they do that, the cameras will be there because they'll obviously want to be showing it on whatever television or Sky or whatever. So you're going to have a lot of people still involved, and like players are going to have physical contact, and nobody really knows how long this is going to go on. And do them players actually know, although they feel great, that one of them might have a virus and suddenly it's spreading? So I can't see anything changing as far as games being allowed to be played in front of crowds, because I think this looks as if it's an ongoing thing that's going to last more than a few months. So, I mean, the idea of trying to get them finished would be great, but I don't know what other way. I mean, obviously, there's lots of different scenarios that you could just finish the season as it is and whatever teams are, but... the only one team in the whole of the country that can actually say, yeah, we'll get the championship or the premiership is Liverpool because they're so far ahead. Everything else is up in arms. Like, you've got the Premier League, the bottom three. Well, any of them could jump five places with one win. So it's a very difficult situation. I wouldn't like to be the people in charge at the moment, put it that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One of the people in charge of a club, Steve Parish, of course, in charge at Crystal Palace, he has now come out and said that all people that would have been employed for the fixtures that are being postponed at the moment will still be paid so that they don't go into financial uncertainty. That's because... we forget sometimes as football fans how much goes into a match day and how much goes into running a club. This isn't just about the players who earn so much money. This isn't just about the manager, about the star, about the top level staff. There are the people in the kitchen. They're the stewards on the match day. There are the people who would work in the ground just selling hot dogs and selling pies and beers that earn very little money, that rely on that cash from these match day weekends to survive. This is a very, very good statement from Steve Parish, provided that he goes through with it.
Yeah, I did see the statement, and obviously I'm thinking, oh, does that mean I'll get my match fee for not turning up? being a Scotsman. But yeah, I mean, the clubs can't function without all the infrastructure. You know, like, it's the players on the pitch, obviously the most important aspect when it comes to playing and winning games, but without all the staff and everything else that goes with it, a club wouldn't survive. So for Steve to come out and say that if somebody's off ill, it won't be statutory sick pay they're getting, they will get their full wage. And I think that's brilliant. But for how long, you know, he might suddenly think, oh, this is going on longer than I thought. But I think it's great for all the people that are working to know that he's got their back and he's come straight out and made a statement, and you've got to hold your hands up and say well done.
And we talk about Crystal Palace being a community club here on the Crystal Palace Fan Show quite often. I think this is from Steve Parrish, a good statement to back that up. Let's get James in, because I know he's sat there on Skype and I know he's always bursting at the brim to give you his questions out. I'm sure he's got some questions for you, Jim, as well.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Jim. Hi, James. As a player, ex-player yourself, in this situation, it's what do you do as a player, you know, to keep fit? Because especially, you know, these days, they seem to sort of, you know, get weight training, and there's a lot more work with physios, etc. I mean, yeah, it's all very well sort of people staying at home and not going in a social environment. But, you know, these are top athletes. And, you know, if they are expected to come back very, very quickly back to football, they need to be at the peak of their fitness. So what would you recommend, or what would you suggest that they do, or what do you think they are doing to keep fairly fit in the meantime?
Well, they'll obviously all of the ones, I mean, I've noticed at Palace especially, have closed the training ground for a week. So they'll all have been given programmes, probably a lot of them, not unlike in my day, we'll all have their own gyms at home. So they'll have the facilities, and I dare say if they haven't, the club will get facilities to them where they can train. But, I mean, there's only so much you can do, but I suppose the only thing is that every team will be in the same position. Players will lose a certain amount of fitness, but they'll all probably be in the same sort of boat. But yeah, that's all you can do. And nowadays, because of all the GPS stuff that they've got, you know, a guy in a little room at home, the physio, can be keeping an eye on what a player's doing purely by him wearing a watch and transferring everything that they do. So they can't get away with it. So the programmes... The programmes that we give them, they will stick to. I mean, they're all professional athletes, as you said, and they'll all be working hard. And no different from when we, 2-3 weeks before we started pre-season training, I would be out running and working really hard, almost doing my own pre-season before I got there, because you wanted to get back fit and ready to go.
Hitting the ground running. Hello, Jim.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, you play a game behind closed doors in an empty stadium. My question to you is, how much do you think the crowd affects you as a player? Because it must be really eerie playing a behind closed door game. Are you not as up for it because you haven't got the crowd behind you? Is it how would it affect you psychologically, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's an ideal scenario. I don't think any player wants to go out and play. I mean, the whole point of going walking out at Selhurst Park or any stadium on a Saturday afternoon is walking out to that 25,000 people that are screaming and shouting, and that gets the adrenaline going and gets you going. And if it turns out that it's a living aside behind closed doors, it's like a practice match. The atmosphere's not there. And I mean, if they've got to do it, they've got to do it. But it's certainly, I don't think any player, if they had a choice of 30,000 people or 200, I know what they would choose. So it's not an ideal scenario.
When you say not an ideal scenario, would you rather just not see football be played?
No. I mean, if that's what they've got to do and it's safe to do, then they might have to do it. As I say, there's different options. I mean, if you can't get the season finished, and I mean, if this goes on sort of like longer than what they think, I mean, they're saying 3-4 months, then you're almost going to be into next season. So there's loads of different scenarios. What do you do? You give Liverpool the league because they're so far ahead. Personally, what I would do is just leave the Premiership as it is, bring up West Brom and Leeds and vice versa all the way through, have two extra teams or whatever it is, and just start again.
What I'd do, and I've just thought of this, is if next season has to be cut short, yeah, then we reduce the number of teams in the Premier League for one season. So yeah, if we go up to whatever position West Ham are in and then relegate from West Ham downwards, then we have maybe 16, 14 teams, we play a short season, and then providing West Ham don't get into the playoffs or promoted, because we'll let more teams up again to balance it out, we can even it up.
I'm guessing this is just your dig at West Ham. I'm sure you'd probably want 15th down, so Brighton could be in there as well to go down as well, wouldn't you, Nick?
Yeah, indeed.
I'm not sure how that can work. Realistically, if the season finishes and they just say, like you've said about, you mentioned before, Liverpool being the only sort of guaranteed, but then even not necessarily guaranteed. I heard Paul Merson saying before, if he was playing snooker and he was 22 frames down, there was two frames, you know, it was best of 20, and it was first to 25, he'd still go, and you just finished it there, and then he'd still go down the pub a couple of weeks later and say, I was going to beat you that day. So until it's mathematically done, it's not done. And if it ended how it is and they just went Bournemouth, Villa, Norwich, see you later, all of those teams surely would be able to sue.
Yeah, you can, there's no way you can do that. You can't relegate teams. I mean, I'll mention Liverpool. Listen, we can play for a million years. Liverpool have won the league. Anybody with any brains and any sense knows that. The other side of it, the relegation side, there's 9 games to go, and there's teams there that, with a game in hand, can jump up 4 or 5 places. So you couldn't relegate them. You can't do that. So I think that's straight out the window. I suppose the one true way to do it, if we can't get crowds back, is play behind closed doors. But as I say, that's a decision for maybe even by then the government won't allow it. You don't know. So
yeah, there's not much the government can do not much football can do if the government issues a lockdown. We're seeing lockdowns in Italy and Spain. I saw a great video earlier in Italy of lockdown. One guy's got his speakers and his decks out on his balcony. He's playing a DJ set to the entire street. I wouldn't mind seeing that around, but I live in Tring, and I think it'd probably be Neil Diamond we'd have to play, not some of the club bangers we've got at the moment. when the season does resume, if it does resume, what do you think Palace can go to next? You must be, as a former centre-half yourself, be looking back, thinking 3 clean sheets on the bounce, Gary Cahill, Scott Dan doing a great job. Palace potentially could move up the league. They're only 3 points behind Spurs in 8th at the moment.
Well, we're only a few points off 5th spot. So, I mean, this has come at a really bad time for us, because we just got up ahead of steam. We're sort of looking actually quite good at the moment. So, if things hadn't... I mean, everything's going to change, you know, like, if there's a few months off for teams, everything will change a little bit. But I suppose the one thing we were looking at is to be safe from relegation. I think we're well away from that now. And I think as a team and as a club, we're probably looking maybe to get up another 2. I think it'd be nice to finish inside the top 10, because you could say you've had a really successful and progressive season. And, well, unfortunately, that's sort of, it's all on hold at the moment. But I think that's what we're looking for.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Former Crystal Palace centre-half Jim Cannon there. Just gone 8:30 on your Wednesday evening. This is Love Sport London. We're doing the Crystal Palace fan show. We're going to be talking next about a player who has still been playing. He's technically a Crystal Palace player, but Palace might not get the money that they deserve from him. This is Love Sport.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
We are here to keep you company, and you can give us a call, 0208 70 20 558. You can also drop us a message on WhatsApp, or you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio, just to keep you company while you're in self-isolation, while you're going to work, while you're just whatever you're doing at the moment in this time of pandemic that we're seeing, coronavirus, COVID-19 outbreak. We're doing the Crystal Palace fan show still, and we're going to, it's sort of coronavirus related, but we're going to move away from it slightly. I'm joined by the Back of the Nest podcast team. James Howard and Nick Gillard are with me. We seem to do it every week, but there's been more rumours about Alexander Sorloth, who was awful at Palace, but is doing very, very well at Trabzonspor in Turkey. Now, Trabzonspor are still playing. Turkish League is still playing at the moment. Today, the news has broken that John Obi Mikel has just left the club because of fears for coronavirus, because it's still being played. He's just decided, no, I'm not having this, and he's gone. Sorloth is still banging them in. Now he's being offered to Napoli by his agent. Palace could only get 5 mil, which doesn't seem fitting for the amount of goals he's scored. Firstly, Nick, what do you make of this entire situation with Sorloth? It's crazy, isn't it?
It's completely bonkers. Absolutely bonkers, because I think I've said it before, he's one of the worst players I've ever seen in a Palace shirt. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy year. And Sorloth isn't the craziest thing that's happened now, is it? But you couldn't make it up. Good luck to the bloke. Whoever wrote the contract and the clauses is probably hiding under a bushel now, because it just makes a mockery of it all. You've got to have some sort of sell-on clause or something, just in the rare event that a bad player's going to turn really good.
Well, I guess the clause was 5 million, wasn't it, James?
Yeah.
James, are you there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't know what happened there. The five mil is the sell-on clause, I guess. I mean, if you looked at this deal when he went to Trabs and Spore, you would have gone, 5 mil, we'll take that. He's been rubbish. It's completely unforeseeable how good he's been.
Yeah, I mean, this is the risk you got to take in business. It's all very well with hindsight, you know, with everything. You know, you predict this coronavirus 4 months ago, you'd be a millionaire. So, you know, it's just, you know, I think what Nick is saying, and what I agree with, is that, you know, he was so bad for us. You just can't believe how a player can be so poor and suddenly turn it around and be, you know, exceptionally brilliant for another club, albeit, you know, I do put in inverted commas, it is a different league in Turkey. It's not the Premier League. And that's the caveat I want to put out there is, yeah, it's all very well the likes of Napoli coming in and saying, yeah, and come to us. But, you know, yeah, let them spend 10 million, 20 million or whatever. But, yeah, let's see if he does it in your league. Now, we had a journalist on the other week who was from Turkey, and he suggested that, you know, he would rather have Sorloth than Tank Tosin. So I have to take his word for it and assume that Sorloth really is the business and he is doing a good job. So, yeah, we've missed the boat and we've allowed him to go for, you know, half the price we paid. I think we paid maybe 9-10 million for him. So if we get 5 million, half the price. But that's business, you know. We had to tempt somebody into taking him off our hands because he was that bad. And we tempted a club to take him off our hands, and we've had our fingers potentially burnt over this, and we just have to walk away and try and learn from it.
Sometimes, James, it works out.
James, do you think with Benteke playing as well as he had, could you have seen Sorloth having the sort of games Benteke's had the last 3 or 4 games? Because Benteke's been pivotal, and as much as I'm hearing about Sorloth, I haven't seen a lot of it. But is he just putting them in, or is he being, I don't know, could he cut it in the Premier League?
I don't think I from what I've seen from Benteke is when Benteke first came to us, he really did the business. He looked really good. I think Sam Allardyce was the manager, put quite a few goals away, held the ball up, really did well. And then his performance went downhill, lost his confidence. And gradually, you know, last few months, it's taken a while, believe you me, we've had to be very patient. But gradually, last few months, he's got his form back. He's playing very, very well. He has scored, but he's not really scoring enough. But I didn't see any potential whatsoever in Sorloth from any of the first games he played to any of the end games he played. I just didn't see it. But with Benteke, I did see it when he first came to the club.
I mean, Sorloth is younger, 24 years old. So it could just be that he's matured in the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, it just seemed to happen overnight, though. I mean, it's just like, yeah, he's gone out on loan and he's just got off to a great start. I think he scored on his debut and he's just been scoring every week. I just think that maybe it is down to the league that he's playing in. That's all I can put it down to, unfortunately. But I don't want to be sour grapes. I don't want to, you know, rubbish the player. If he is the business and he does go elsewhere, I wish him good luck. And if he can do it in the Italian league, or if he can do it in the Spanish league, then yeah, we've obviously made a big mistake there.
You don't want to be saying about the league, good thing DR's not on the show today, because he wouldn't be happy with that, would he? Well, let's just talk about the John Obi Mikel situation as well, because so Like I said before, Turkish football is continuing at the moment. Most games behind closed doors. John Obi-Mikel has expressed his fears about football continuing in Turkey. He's now decided to leave Trabzonspor. Does this make you more glad that actually they have taken action and postponed over here? Because, you know, say a Crystal Palace player had gone, no, I'm not comfortable playing, and actually I don't believe that, you know, especially with the government policies at the moment, what the government's saying, I should be playing, maybe they'd be within their rights to leave the club.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think not only have, as a player, got the ability, as with a lot of professional people at the moment, and a lot of parents that want to pull their children out of school when schools are still open, you know, people have their own personal sort of decisions to make as to whether they don't want to put themselves at risk. But not only that, I think this playing behind closed doors, I think it is a bit strange because, you know, as we know, leading up to the crisis in the last few weeks, there were we were still potentially going ahead with games at the weekend, but then there were teams saying, oh, we can't play because, you know, a couple of our players have got the virus or one of their family members has, so they're in isolation. So I don't think it can work. I really don't. And I think, yeah, he's probably right to pull out for personal reasons. And I think that they'll probably, the Turkish league will may have to stop if it carries on getting worse.
Well, what are they doing differently out there then? What's the situation in Turkey? Are there not many cases? Is it not there at all? Because if they're looking at everybody else, they should be thinking about shutting down, surely.
Yeah, you would think so. I guess that's for the Turkish league to decide.
Indeed. But as for John Obi-Mikel, yeah, I don't blame him. If he wants to look after his own health, and perhaps he's got family who might be sort of more vulnerable than the general populace, who knows? But carrying on with a downer, I didn't want to do this just before the end of the show, but it was mooted on Twitter that we may never see Wilfred Selhurst again if the season is over and if he moves on elsewhere. What are you thinking about that, Jack? James?
Well, yeah, that would be disappointing because that is, you know, to be fair, that is a strong possibility. Maybe it's, you know, I can't really think ahead too much in that way. I mean, I'm more sort of inclined to sort of just let's. I mean, I've had a real reality check recently and just sort of had a good think about things. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, we're all been worrying about VAR and referees and whatever. And you're thinking, do you know what? Who cares about VAR or referees? We just want to get the game on again. So personally, I think we just have to think, you know, let's get everyone better, let's get rid of the virus and let's get back to normality, and we'll see who's around, who's in contract, who isn't, start negotiating at that point. But yeah, I can't look too far ahead, to be honest with you. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just sort of more concerned about your family and just getting everyone better, really.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. But there is things to do to distract yourselves at the moment. Listen to Love Sport, of course. You can call the show at any point, 0208 7020 558. Or you can follow the Leighton Orient FIFA tournament. 128 teams across the world are playing in a FIFA tournament, one representative from each club. It's going to be quite interesting. Man City are in it, Ajax, Roma, Sydney FC. I've seen FC Midtjylland have signed up for it. I've seen that the Central Coast Mariners as well in Australia have signed up. Leighton Orient, of course, will be playing. Crystal Palace have signed up as well. Andros Townsend is going to be the Palace representative. Can we see Palace winning a global tournament here?
Definitely. I've seen the way he destroyed Wilf on one of the old videos. It's a distraction. I just hope it's going to be streamed somewhere because we need something competitive to watch to get the old pulse going a bit, don't we? Something to cheer on. I think it's a great idea. I really do. If we can watch it somewhere, I'd be very happy.
How are you guys at FIFA? Can you play?
I'm still doing FIFA 19. I'm building up quite a very nice team. For a 51-year-old with semi-arthritic hands, I'm not too bad. But if I played somebody like DR, I'd get destroyed.
James, do you pick up a controller as well?
I probably don't. I don't have one at home, but I used to when I was youngster. But I've gone to my daughter's friend's house and tried to play. But, you know, it's like those kids are playing every day and then I suddenly play and I'm useless. So, yeah, I mean, it's a nice idea. And one thing I wanted to sort of mention on the show before we finish is a guy called Vince messaged and said, Do we think that the Australian tour is going to go ahead? I've tried to find information on this, and I personally haven't found any information. And obviously, this is over the summer. But if it were me, I wouldn't start booking anything or spending any money on any flights if you haven't already done so, because we're in this for possibly quite a few months, and that would take us through the summer. So I would just say to Vince and anyone else listening, just be very careful about the Australian tour, because as I can see it, I just don't think it is strong possibility it won't go ahead. I don't know if you guys have got an opinion on it.
Well, I don't think there's any chance that pre-season will be going ahead at all, really, especially on a tour. I think that, especially as it looks like they're going to try and finish this season, by the time they finish this season, and if they want to get into next season, there's not going to be, pre-season will be a couple of weeks and it'll be at home, I think.
I don't think countries will have opened their borders by then anyway.
Yes,
so yeah, I don't think much will be going on this year in the name, in tours and events. So many bands have cancelled tours in October, November, that far ahead. So it's, I just think everybody's writing this year off for things like that.
Yeah,
so we'll just start again.
I completely agree. Okay, up next, we've still got 15 minutes left. So what we'll talk about is the Premier League meeting tomorrow. The board of the EFL met today. I'll go through some of the statements made by the EFL. We'll get the guys' opinion on whether they think the Premier League will follow suit. It's 9:15. This is the Crystal Palace fan show on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Crystal Palace fan show on Love Sport London, the station giving fans a voice. We got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Miles Blumsome here, Crystal Palace fan show going for the next 10 minutes, joined by James Howard and Nick Gillard from the Back of the Nest podcast. Now, right, guys, the EFL have had their meeting today, the Premier League meeting's tomorrow. So when it comes to the EFL meeting, some of the... it's just some of the points made were that they were that the EFL are committing to trying to finish the 2019-20 season, however that will be. They are going to be giving out a 50 million shortfall loan out to teams, interest free, to try to keep the teams alive. They're also going to be working within the public health interest and all of that stuff. You know, just the stuff that you feel like they have to say. Premier League meeting tomorrow night, or tomorrow during the day. Nick, what do you actually see coming out of that meeting?
Well, again, they're going to say, yes, we want to try and finish the season, which is a bit, you know, it's stating the obvious, and doesn't really take us any further, because they've not given any means to say how they're going to do it, given the up-in-the-airness of everything. There's not a lot they can do, really, other than offer these kind of platitudes. What I would like to see them do is actually look at how they can be part of their community during this time, and maybe meet and look at ways of, you know, linking together the food bank ideas that Everton and Liverpool fans have got together. Why don't they, let's see how they can roll that out while there's nothing football-y going on. You know, they can still use their staff, utilise them in a useful way. That's what I'd do.
James, do you agree?
I think they're going to do a brainstorming session. I think they're going to try and get a lot of ideas as to how to cram all this into next season. Now, I think, and I've just thought this off the top of my head, that we've got a couple of months to squeeze in. So if we did get back to normality around about September, I would be inclined to finish off this season for the first couple of months of next season. And then I would maybe think of something where maybe we don't play each club home and away. We just play, I don't know how this is going to happen, but we just play, you know, maybe one game against Manchester United and one game against Brighton. And I don't know, but toss of a coin, you play home or away, for example. Maybe you don't play League Cup matches. However, you compensate the lower league clubs for them not playing those matches. And then maybe you can still fit in the FA Cup competition. But I really do think that they need to finish off this season properly. And yeah, maybe a couple of months into next season, a lot of midweek games in the Premier League, because let's face it, we don't have, compared to Championship and lower league sides, we don't have that many midweek games. I think we can definitely squeeze in midweek games. All this talk about, you know, it's just too many games, that's nonsense in the Premier League. We've got squads of 20 plus players. They can play, you know, even if you've got to put out your second string team, we can get another team to play a midweek game. So I think we can squeeze it all into next season, personally.
Yeah, I just, the meeting tomorrow, nothing will be decided. That I think that what we've seen from UEFA yesterday and from the EFL today, some people thinking that they were going to give some definitive answer of what was going to happen. That's not going to happen, because there is no way of knowing how long COVID-19 is going to be such a prevalent issue in society.
Yeah. So that's difficult, because it's you could be just wasting your breath for a whole day having a brainstorming session, because nobody actually knows when it's all going to be resolved. They probably just got to, you know, kind of tick box a few things, get things sorted. But do you know what? It'd be an interesting meeting to go along to be honest with you. To listen,
do you think they should live stream
fly on the wall?
They're just doing something for the sake of looking like they're doing something, I think. But you, like you said, they don't have a crystal ball. They don't know what's around the corner, you know. But it's interesting times.
Okay.
I've said that so many times this last few days, but it is.
Yeah, well, no one really knows what's happening. We'll just have to find out as and when each day something different happens. For example, today Boris Johnson pulling the trigger on I don't think that's the right term to use, actually. Boris Johnson deciding that schools should close from Friday, if whether you think that's the right decision or not, that will be happening. And it is ramping up, and tomorrow there will probably be another statement made, some, you know, after yesterday's money towards helping businesses, the £350 billion pledged by the government. Talked about protecting landlords with not having to pay their mortgages. Now we're talking about potentially protecting renters from having to pay rent during this time, because lots of people are going to miss out on their wages, miss out on work. Let's get away from that slightly and talk about when the season does resume. Crystal Palace, like we mentioned to Jim Cannon earlier in the show, sat 3 points off Spurs. They're 6 points off fifth, which would be the final Champions League spot. Only 2-3 weeks ago, we were talking about, oh, not one for a while, could be relegation. How are you feeling going through the rest of the season?
We've had 3 wins in a row. It's a shame it was brought to a halt so suddenly. It'll be nice if we can pick up where we left off. Most teams should have a full squad back fit, I'd imagine, by then. So, you know, all Premier League and all league teams should have a full squad to pick from. So that'll be interesting. So it'll be a kind of reset button. Whether we click straight away, I don't know, because would each team come out and play the same way they were playing, or would things have changed over that time? It would be very, very interesting, because of such a gap. It'd almost be like starting a new season, where teams do perform differently to how they did at the end of the season before, if that makes sense.
James, are you worried that this break in play is going to be going on for so long that Gary Cahill might be too old to play? He might come back in with grey hair and a walking stick.
Oh, I don't think Gary. I think Gary Cahill has got quite a few years left in him, to be honest with you. The way he keeps himself fit and how he looks on the pitch. But you know, when they do come back, whether it is hopefully just a 2 or 3 months or whether it's longer, it's just a restart, isn't it? And some teams will be fitter than others for various reasons. Some teams will be sharp. Some players will be sharper than others. Who knows what will happen? It's like Nick said. We can't judge what's going to happen. And you know, even the likes of Liverpool, you know, might come back, and you might find that they're a little bit rusty. And people, I mean, I know recently they were losing games, you always feel at the beginning of the season there's always a chance to beat sort of the top five teams because, you know, they're a little bit rusty. So we'd have all that again where, you know, if you were due to play Liverpool or Man City, you might think, oh, I fancy my chances because their players will be a bit rusty. So there's that scenario. But it could be. But then it's still the same managers, so you know it's. I don't suppose we can lose a manager before the season restarts, but possibly that could happen.
Well, if it's behind closed doors, the over 70s staying at home might be in place, and forget about the stadium ban we were talking about. Roy Hodgson might not be able to leave the house.
Poor old Roy. Yeah, no, we'll have. Video links from his bedroom or something. Yeah,
they'll have to have him on the giant TV.
Yeah,
at the opposite end of the home style, so the players can see him scowl down at them if they're not doing the right thing.
Well, it might be a good use to finally use the VAR monitors that no referees have been using all season. You can get Roy Hodgson's face up on them. Hey guys, Nick, James, thank you so much for tonight. That was the Crystal Palace fan show. Actually, my last Crystal Palace fan show. So I need to thank James, Nick and DR for the last few months, keeping me in as an eagle, talking all things Crystal Palace. Next week, when the station goes to the national station, the show will be moving. Charlie Hawkins will be hosting it, so don't worry, we'll still be doing the Crystal Palace fan show. Just make sure you press the auto tune button on your radio, retune, so you get Love Sport National. We've got Fulham next on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views, or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.